because of our butts.
We just show Google our butts.
Each of our Twitter followers. That's one of the benefits. It's one of the fringe benefits. Also, you can see the fringe on our underpants.
Huh.
Because we use 70s Mexican underpants exclusively.
What?
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hotbox, the podcast we're high as fuck.
This is episode...
Yeah.
It's 90...
So we did an episode of Video Games Hot Dog last week that I was not particularly satisfied with, and then luckily Riff's audio was also all fucked up because of a phone accident.
I think the audio was bad all around. I don't think it can be blamed just on Riff.
I think
he also ruined our audio.
I think everything can be blamed just on Riff all the time.
Oh, it's true.
Riff, do you realize that because of you, the world's population now exceeds 7 billion dudes?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of sex.
Yeah, with a lot of dudes. okay, I guess it's probably dudes and ladies.
Yeah.
And dudes what look like ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, population explosion. That's Riff's fault. What else? There's... The posters on the wall in this house are, without exception, dumb French posters for things like a girl would have on a dorm room wall.
I did that.
Yeah. My beer is sitting on a coaster that has that stupid black cat and it says Tournée du Chat Noir on it.
Yeah, I invented that.
That same cat from everything.
Mm-hmm.
What is with the... It's what? It's a black cat tournament?
It's turn of the... Yeah, it's a black cat tournament. It's basically... It's bracketed. You start out with 16 dudes,
cats.
And each round is a judge puts a firecracker in your butt and then sets it off.
Huh.
And whoever is willing to go on to the next round wins.
Do you have to swim across a lake while this is happening?
Yeah, without the firecracker going out.
Hmm.
Or off.
Every once in a while, there's a dud.
Hmm. Everyone hopes for their dud.
Mm-hmm. So that's usually who wins, is the guy that just got really lucky.
How can you tell if a milk dud is bad?
You can't, really.
Oh, wow.
In what way could a milk dud be bad, though? It's like I went to chew on it, and it wasn't delicious.
It wasn't chewy. It just didn't work.
Have you never...
Every
once
in
a while, you'll get a hard one that just shatters in your mouth, and you're like, bonus!
Yeah, I was about to say, are you ecstatic when that happens?
Yeah. We found that I like things that are really hard to chew on, and Hot Stuff thinks that I'm stupid.
Not stupid, crazy maybe. Stupid,
you know what happened to me yesterday that I said was going to happen, and then it happened, is I went to flush the goddamn stupid toilet, and I bent my fingernail back.
Oh,
pushing the flush handle. Those flush handles where there's the little flush for when you go tinkle, and the big flush for when you make a boom boom. Those are terrible. Because pushing them makes it so you are sinking your finger into a recessed thing and thus risking bending your fingernail back.
That's not the only case in which you might bend your fingernail back.
I didn't say that it was, nor is it reasonable to assume that I implied that it was, Kevin.
Well,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
You were describing a Venn diagram, and I was saying that one of those circles was bigger than you implied.
Okay.
That's all.
The toilet flush button actually looks kind of like a Venn diagram. It looks like the edge of a Venn diagram.
Right.
This is things to touch if you just peed.
Conversation.
The other thing in the outside of that circle is like your dick, and then maybe like a bar of soap.
Okay.
And the keypad of the microwave, just for fun, you know. I like it so when people feed up their food.
Yep.
That did I mention that this is Video Games Hot Box, the podcast we're high as fuck? We're
through
in
no
San
fault
Francisco,
of our own.
The land of the dankest nugs.
Yep.
With sticky purple hairs, invisible THC crystals.
Yeah, just all over your house.
Yeah. Well, no, just walking outside, the whole, like, it's like walking out into a video game because everything is covered in
writhing sticky purple hairs the size of Dotsons.
Yeah.
Both the dog and the car.
Huh.
What about you, Riff? What horrors await outside the doors of your dwelling?
Since I haven't been outside in a week, probably.
Are you smoking cigarettes inside the house, you asshole?
Yeah, no, okay. I guess I was counting the porch as not being outside.
You know, 50 years ago, he wouldn't have been an asshole. He would have just been a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you saying that just the passage of time can turn one into an asshole?
Riff, it's also not okay for you to slap your secretary's ass. Also, it's really weird that your office doesn't have a door.
And that he has a secretary.
Also, what is that demon machine you use to do all of your work? It can't be a computer, because the office is not big enough to contain a computer.
I mean, it's possible that he built on some rooms out back that we just never see.
Okay. We're not allowed in there, because it's like, that's riff time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's where he goes to smoke his pipe.
That's right.
And clean his guns.
That's where I keep that bottle of whiskey.
Maybe he's got, maybe all of those piles of stuff around his desk are punch cards.
Yeah.
For example.
Paper tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean that kind of punch cards, like you might see, the kind of paper tape you might see in an article where Richard Garriott says that everyone except him is really bad at making video games? That isn't really what he said. There was a lot of stuff taken out of context about Richard Garriott today. Although, some of what he said in the actual interview that I read was also sort of dumb.
I mean, did he say, I'm only making this so I can go back to space?
No, he did not tell the truth about anything. He did not say at any point in the interview, I don't give a fuck about video games anymore. I just want to go to space.
Did he say, the only reason I'm giving this interview is so that I can get back to space? If I could give this interview from space, that would be so much better. That'd be a much better interview.
If you were an astronaut, I would be having more fun.
Right.
Right now. My other car is an astronaut, I wish, is Richard Garriott's bumper sticker. The bumper sticker on the back of his chariot. A Ford chariot.
Oh, wow. And his chariot... the chariot with which he pulls the sun.
Oh, the Garriott chariot.
Yeah.
So yeah, we talked about a lot of things on the last episode of Video Games Hot Dog that is never going to see the light of day.
Yeah, you said you might clip portions.
I might try to get
it,
some highlights in. Yeah, we might do the news segment from last time minus everything Riff says. The trouble is that Riff's audio track is accompanied with as loud as Riff iPhone interference the entire time.
I mean, so, pretty much my entire track is just going to be me laughing anyway, so...
I could just edit
no
in...
No huge loss.
I could edit in some laughs. You did say some disparaging things about women, although I might be confusing you with me.
Yeah.
I often do.
I think I said some disparaging things about your inability to jump.
Hmm.
Because I'm white?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I guess your space bar doesn't work.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Boy, if only Richard Garriott were here, he'd fix that space bar right up. Did you know that Richard Garriott wanted so badly to go to space that he voluntarily underwent surgery?
Life-threatening surgery.
Well, he kept describing it as life-threatening surgery. I think any surgery is life-threatening.
Yeah. But I mean,
did he have part of him replaced with a space bar?
No, he had... two parts of him that were connected, disconnected.
Yeah, he had like a fused kidney, which is like, I don't know, his kidney was stuck to his pelvis or something, or stuck to the wall of his abdomen, and they wouldn't let him into astronaut training because of that. So he was like, well, what if I get it surgically fixed? And they were like, okay, I guess, buddy, thinking no one would be crazy enough to do that.
You would think that would be advantageous because then you don't have as much of a problem of your inner organs floating around inside you like they do in space.
Well, apparently that's not actually a problem. That's desirable.
Oh.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like even laying down often causes problems for me where, say, like, all of the pain juice that normally goes inside your stomach just goes up into my throat.
I don't think it's supposed to be pain juice.
I bet if I was in zero gravity, it would get even worse. It would be, like, there's like, oh, man, I just got to get right side up so this pain juice stays where it's supposed to. But there is no right side up. You're in space.
Yeah, it just, instead of acid reflux, it's just acid flux. Yeah.
Also, you're hundreds of thousands of miles from the nearest Circle K, so you can't even get any Rolaids.
Yep. Or, like, a hospital.
That's true.
In case it were perhaps more serious than just needing some Rolaids. Yeah, they really have to be in good physical condition. It's not, they don't just need, like, people who are prime physical suspects. physical specimens just because they are photogenic. They actually like need to not be sick or need any medical attention for months at a time.
I read some sort of thing with Werner Herzog where they made a documentary in Antarctica and they were like weren't allowed to go to this place unless they had had their wisdom teeth and their appendices out.
Huh.
Because
because if something went wrong and they suddenly needed it.
Huh. Although the wisdom teeth thing seems weird because there's not like, oh fuck, my wisdom teeth are doing something that's going to kill me in 4 days.
Yeah,
like
that's your appendix a little strange.
But
have you had your appendix out?
No.
How about you, Riff?
Nope.
Me either.
So I've had my wisdom teeth out.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. Like that's not. Again, I think you're right that that is not a real thing.
I wonder if Emily can go to Antarctica. She only has one wisdom tooth left.
She only has one appendix.
Yeah, she has both of her. She has both of her appendices though. The one that's about all the elf songs, and then the one that's about all of the bigats.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've got appendix A and B, but I don't know about C and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
those are jokes.
Uh huh.
Richard Garriott.
Uh huh. What have you done this past week?
I just read stuff about Richard Garriott.
Really? Yeah. You didn't do anything interesting or
are you sure?
Go anywhere and do...
Why am I asking
you guys are
you
in, like,
sure
the land of interesting yeah. things.
You didn't go to any offices or play games?
We
or...
played board games with the Glitch dudes.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We played a lot of The Resistance.
Yeah.
Which we had played a lot of before. But it was good. Those dudes are good dudes.
And dudettes.
Oh, right. There was a dudette in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen last time. Not that they don't hire women. They just there weren't any there when
right.
they went, or maybe there were. They just didn't care about us.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So that's a good story. Yeah, we went and had some. We ate some oysters, and then you didn't eat any oysters
because
you are
oysters.
A pussy, and you yeah. see no reason to eat something that potentially carries life-threatening foodborne illnesses and is also not particularly good to eat.
Yeah. And is just
pussy.
Big wad of sea snot.
Yeah. So, hey, let's go skiing, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Kevin doesn't want to go skiing.
No. Nope.
All Kevin wants to do is get run over by a car on his bike. See, you're the one that's all careful about not doing things where you can get hurt. And who got run over by a car? You or me, buddy?
Who runs over people on bicycles?
Okay, that's me.
Okay.
That was that kid's fault, though.
Sure.
Yeah, look at how he was dressed.
He was riding the wrong direction
yeah.
on his bike, which is
okay.
why people get hit.
Yeah.
Because you don't look that direction when you're seeing if you can drive or not.
I can't remember if I've told you my my Harvard Bridge story about getting hit by a car.
You had a wolf, a chicken, and a head of lettuce.
No, I was biking. I think I was biking to school one day, and this guy like drove up and hit my back tire, and I like looked at him. I was like, "What the fuck was that? Why couldn't you wait for me to get past?" And he's like, "I didn't see you. You're wearing all black." I'm like, "It's the middle of the day." That was his excuse.
Huh.
Was that he couldn't see me because I was wearing all black?
Well, maybe he just is not a racist, so he doesn't see.
Yeah,
color.
He doesn't oh, okay. see black and white. Yeah.
Sure.
He could be entirely colorblind.
Sure.
All right. Was there some sort of elder god attending classes at Harvard that day, and was the sky as inky as the deepest seas, even though it was the middle of the day?
It's possible. That
was there like
a
conjunction of the planets?
I did go to Miskatonic University.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a class in that building where the lurking horror was?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That's a good story.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we played some of The Resistance with the guys that used to work on Glitch.
We took Lords of Waterdeep, but that did not happen.
There were too many of us.
Yeah.
There was a group of people that was large enough to be engaged in a game of The Resistance. It was good. There was some lying. There was
yeah.
some deceit. There was some conspiracy.
I was going to say there was conspiracy. The like, all right, if anybody is the bad guy, here's how you signal things. And I was like, oh, don't do that. That's.
But then it worked.
Yeah, that's. It feels like cheating to me.
It's not cheating.
It's like
it's a game about lying. How is anything cheating?
Because it's like meta knowledge. I don't know.
It is a game about meta knowledge. How is meta knowledge cheating?
It's not really about meta knowledge. It's about like winnowing out the truth from the actions that the players take, right? Like,
which I would argue is definitionally meta knowledge, right? Huh. You're trying to know things about what they're doing that you've inferred based on what they're doing.
But you are providing like an exterior language that.
Okay, so if you know that somebody fidgets a lot when they're the bad guy,
yeah.
Is it cheating to bring that meta knowledge to bear while you're playing the game? Are you supposed to just pretend that it's not there? Or you're saying you don't have to pretend that it's not there, but you shouldn't go out of your way to produce
additional layers of it? Yeah. You know, it's not like I felt cheated.
So Stuart said, all right, for the bad guys, here's the code that we're going to use.
Yeah.
If at the point where we were both bad guys, we had like gone off to go to the bathroom together, which is a thing Hot. That you do sometimes with your bros.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you want to cross the streams. And then he had said, all right, Zach, here's the signal.
Right.
Also, watch where you're pissing.
Right.
These shoes are really expensive.
Uh-huh.
Here's the signal. If you're going to fail, use your left eye. If you want me to fail, use your right eye.
Yeah. To shoot lasers.
Yeah.
Right.
Would that have been cheating?
That also feels like it's sketchy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about playing footsie with him under the table?
You should have done that in front of everybody, and then we would have to decide whether you were being serious.
Yeah, one really good thing that you can do in games like that is have the kind of personality where you just are going to make a lot of jokes about being a bad guy all the time, whether you're a bad guy or not. You know what we found is that Kevin and I are terrible at nonverbal communication.
Yep.
I thought that you had sent me a signal, but you hadn't. Or you had sent me the opposite signal that I interpreted.
That happens all the time, though, I feel like.
That happens in relationships all the time.
Sure. Sure.
Right? Like, I think a girl likes me, and really she just wants me to stop following her on the bus.
Yeah, like, I've always interpreted, like, getting the police called on me as, like a positive thing, but apparently that is
not.
Oh,
isn't that cute? She's playing hard to get.
Yeah, right? No, not, apparently not.
Yeah.
What? Most of my life to figure that out.
Romantic comedies really do a bad job
they
of explaining to you how to
terrible.
How to deal with stalkers.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, they just say just fall in love with them.
Persistence is the most valuable thing in a romantic comedy. In real life, not so much.
Yeah. Money. Money is the most important thing. Persistence is just shorthand for money.
Hmm. Okay.
Hey, I don't make the rules.
Feels like
what have you been up to, Riff? It's been 2 weeks, after all. God damn it.
You mean, like, non-video game things?
I'm guessing there isn't any.
Well, I watched some anime.
Okay. Inside the house or outside the house?
That kind of counts as video games.
It was inside the house.
It's from Japan. It is for otaku.
Yeah. And actually, puzzles were involved, so it's even more video game, I guess.
Puzzle anime?
Yeah, it's this anime called Phi Brain. P-H-I, brain.
Okay.
And it's your basic sort of anime situation. You've got like the main character and his band of friends who are all high school students, and they have a progression of increasingly more difficult fights against various opponents, and the opponents are all members of a shadowy conspiracy and things like that.
Okay.
Except it's all puzzle oriented, and the main characters, the kids, are all expert puzzle solvers. And the bad guys are all mysterious master puzzle craftsmen. So all the fights are like puzzle battles. Like, I don't know, solve this huge block puzzle that I've made out of I-beams before the bomb goes off and everyone dies. Or I've fallen off of the Skype. I'm going to call Zach back. Oh, he's calling me back, maybe. Ah, hello.
Hey.
Hey. That was weird.
God damn it. All right, the recording is still going, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I didn't turn it off.
Okay, well, this will be a good point to edit in some shit from the last podcast.
Yeah. Cool.
So the last thing we heard was that you had some high school kids over at your house
and they're expert,
solving puzzles.
Yeah, solving puzzles.
For your panties.
Solving puzzles before bombs go off and everyone dies. It's a pretty good anime.
Die Hard or Live Tryin'.
Do you get to solve the puzzles with them? Or is it not that kind of thing?
Once in a while, I mean, not really as part of the show. Once in a while, someone will, I don't know, show a Sudoku to someone else, and I guess if you wanted to, you could pause the recording and solve it yourself, but yeah, no, for the most part, these are like plot set pieces. They seem generally solvable, but they don't give you the information that you would need.
To stop a bomb from going off?
Well, like, for example, one of them was that the bad guy kidnapped a couple of the main character's friends and forced the kid to solve this big elaborate, you know, one of those black box puzzles where you try and find where the objects are located inside the hidden grid by shooting rays into the sides of the box and seeing how they reflect.
Okay.
Except the kidnapped friends were chained in chairs positioned in this large grid in such a way that they concealed some of the information, and all the kids had access to a button the kidnapped kids each had a button that would cause a trap door to open up underneath their own chair, and the main kid had buttons for all the chairs, and so the tension was of if the main kid doesn't solve the puzzle within enough time, everyone dies, but he has the option to sacrifice one or more of his friends, or the friends could sacrifice themselves to reveal more information of the puzzle.
Huh.
Yeah. You know, things like that.
Did he solve it without any of them dying?
Yeah, that's sort of his main thing is, because there's also a lot of the puzzles are more like two-player games where the bad guy is actively playing against the main character.
And so one of his main things is that he doesn't want his friends to die?
Well, he doesn't want anybody to die. So in the ones where he's actively fighting the bad guy, and it's usually a situation where whoever wins is necessarily going to die as part of, or whoever loses is necessarily going to die as part of losing, he always finds the unusual twist to it that lets him win without anybody dying.
He Kobayashi Maru's it, in other words. Right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty good. If you like puzzles and you like anime, Fibrain is a good anime.
I hate both of those things, Riff.
Then
would
it's
like
probably
it?
Not for you.
Okay.
At least that's an honest review.
Yeah. I know. What about you, Kevin?
I've not been watching any Fibrain.
Okay. Me neither. Have you been solving any puzzles?
I have not. I had constructed a like birthday puzzle hunt for Melissa. She was supposed to come visit last weekend, and she did not.
Was the last piece of the puzzle your dick?
No. but a tattoo, a carefully placed tattoo, provided the last clue.
Now, careful, honey. There might be more to it. You need to make sure you're viewing it at the full resolution.
No, I had planted, I had hidden presents and puzzles in Chicago before I left, and then I was going to give her the first piece of the puzzle when she got here, and then...
Okay, was the first piece of the puzzle your dick?
No. No.
You have an entirely different approach to relationships than I do.
Apparently. Yeah. yeah, and so she solved that this past week, and that was fun.
What was was it like the puzzle hunt that I made for Riff where the reward was just a bunch of padlocks?
No. I had
padlocks and locked attaché case. That was pretty good.
I put the puzzles on the outsides of the presents, basically.
Did you have to solve them to open the presents?
No. You had to unwrap them to open the presents.
So that is a kind of puzzle.
Sure.
You might not figure that out.
I guess.
Right?
Yeah, you might.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for this handsome cube that says happy birthday all over the outside.
Right.
Yeah, this is good.
That's true. I guess context, you'd have to figure out that that's a present from context clues.
Sure. What kind of puzzles were they? Leaps. Were they hard? Were they too hard?
Well,
were they too easy?
So I had, at one point in the past, I had made a puzzle hunt that I think she got angry at me for because it was too difficult. So I tried to scale it back a bit.
I think a lot of what upset her was that you had hidden something in my house and made her do something that made her feel uncomfortable, which was to like poke around cabinets and shit, because she thought that she was just supposed to search for something as opposed to having solved for where it was or something.
I don't know.
She kept bringing me my stuff and saying, is this yours or is this something that Kevin
did
was
really?
Hiding from me? Yeah.
That's funny.
I remember there also being an issue that she didn't know
that
she didn't know that semaphore was a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like that's she has not done nearly as many puzzles. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's her fault for not being a 1800s mariner.
Sure. So, I mean, there is that. But so I tried to be a little bit. I used more standard puzzle techniques, I think, in this one. Basically,
like a jigsaw.
Well, no, like,
you took a jigsaw to her cat.
Converting letters to numbers was like, so I had like the first puzzle was just a
so like V is 5.
No.
And M is 1,000.
Yes.
Okay.
No, converting so like it was just a series of like simple math equations, which if you solved all of them and then converted all the solutions into letters, it said, good job, now keep looking, or something like that. And then you had to realize that what you actually wanted to do was convert the first number in each of the equations into a thing, which told you to remove the last number in each of the equations and then solve them again. And then that was the solution to the puzzle.
Huh. Was that hard to construct?
It's time consuming. It was a little hard.
Sorry. Would it have been hard to construct for somebody without your towering intellect?
There were some additional constraints that I gave myself. I didn't want any of the letters, any of the letters in any position. So all the messages had to be the same length, which was a little tricky. And then I didn't want any of the letters to be the same in any of the positions. So that became a little bit tricky to construct sentences that were had the meaning that I needed and didn't have any of those.
Any letters in common?
Yeah, any letters in common in any particular position. And then the second puzzle was a little more complicated. It was from the point of view of solving it, it looked like it was just like a jumble of letters, which she turned 37. So it was, oh shit, I told people how old she is. I guess that's a no-no for ladies.
29, aren't all girls 29?
They are. They're all 29. Anyway,
unless I'm dating them, in which case they're 19.
You Caesar shift in the alphabet 37 spaces, and that gives you the correct mapping of letters. And then it was just like, it was just sort of a bunch of awkward phrases. And you had to realize that you'd take the first letter of each word, which spells out, look at every 37th letter. And then if you looked at every 37th letter, it told you where the next present was.
This seems like a pretty good puzzle hunt.
I thought it was okay.
I thought we were bros. Why have you never made me a puzzle hunt? I made Riff a puzzle hunt once.
Yeah. Why have you never made me a puzzle hunt?
Because you're too smart. This is why we're good at making puzzles together. You make impossible puzzles, and I make trivial-to-solve puzzles. So my puzzles make dummies happy, and your puzzles make smarties happy.
Yeah.
See, like, you can make a puzzle for me, and because I'm a dummy, I'll just feel stupid. And if I made a puzzle for you, you'd be like, you wouldn't even realize it was a puzzle. In fact, Kevin, every conversation that we have ever had has been encoded by me using the most elaborate substitution cipher that I can think of, which is one in which each letter is replaced by itself.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, I've been tempted at times to like do a long form puzzle where every utterance I make in a particular forum, like maybe an actual literal like computer forum or whatever, that every utterance was just another piece of a puzzle, and then like 2 years later people go back and they're like, oh my god, it's a puzzle,
right?
But I've never actually done that.
You could do that pretty easily if you just wrote a sentence that you wanted to be that part of it, and then you just every time you made a forum post,
made sure to use
you
the
just
next
made
letter.
Sure to use the first the last letter of your post was the next letter in the
We should make some kind of puzzle book like that Maze of Games Kickstarter.
Yeah,
we should somehow discover like all the free time in the world. So that
we can
make
it's kind of like a full-time pursuit to do something that elaborate if you want to get it done in a reasonable
only
time.
If you are not okay with doing a real shitty job. So I think again you need to be more like me.
I really enjoyed the puzzle hunt activity that we manufactured for that ASU office.
Yeah, that only took us a week.
Yeah. And then it required a fair bit of manpower to actually run because we had like NPCs.
We had NPCs, yeah.
Yeah. a bag of four grapes.
We had you were sampling the exotic delicacies of the Orient at PF Chang's.
Right, right.
I was a wizard playing pool.
Right. I was a scholar examining coins.
People were like, "Do you work at the pool hall?" Like, no. I was like, I put this thing together for our friend. We found the only pool hall in Arizona where there's a wizard working there. And he just happened to be into the idea of helping us with this scavenger hunt.
Yeah. I mean, people don't know how to make sense of some of the things that we do, right?
Well, I think just in general, people don't know how to deal with someone in a wizard outfit.
Sure.
Probably true. I mean, my go-to is to just give them a hand job. And you're right.
Oh, you mean the wizard.
No one did that.
You think people should just give wizards hand jobs?
Yeah, if you see a wizard, give him a hand job because he is subtle and quick to anger. And nobody ever got pissed off about a hand job.
Hmm.
That might not be
true. What about the wizard's girlfriend?
Okay, sure. That's a good question. I mean, a good idea, I guess. Have you guys been playing any video games? Jesus Christ, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Riff.
Well, let's see. I played a little bit of... there's a new thing called Legend of Dungeon. Have you guys seen that?
No.
I think it's still in alpha. It's a roguelike. It's a sort of...
Is it a joke about like Legend of Grimrock? Like what's
no?
The...
It's okay. It's well, let's see. It's a 3D third person sort of side scrolling view. So it's sort of like 2.5D.
Okay.
It's all pixel art, but
PC
with
game?
Realistic lighting. Yeah, it's on PC and Mac. And it's got, you know, the basic roguelike conventions. You know, you've got a sword and you, you know, you hit your controller button to swing it when a skeleton gets near. It's not turn-based, so it's not a turn-based roguelike.
Okay.
But it's procedurally generated. Even the music is procedurally generated.
Okay.
It's not very feature-rich yet, it doesn't seem. It's still an alpha. But I found a couple different hats to equip and things like that. And it looks really neat. The art is pretty cool. But it's not like a big deal yet, but it's an interesting alpha to try out, and it looks like it could be pretty awesome as they make it more intricate. I also played a bunch of Ridiculous Fishing on the iPad.
Oh, huh. That's interesting. I wonder if it's any different of an experience, because I've been playing that on my
phone. You've been doing it on the phone.
Yeah, so have I. Have you finished the plot yet?
No, I'm only in the second area.
It's quite a story.
Does it get weird?
No.
So far, nobody on the weird little fake Twitter seems to have anything to say of substance.
They're all kind of funny.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was just... At first, I thought it was just a Twitter feed, and it was just anybody that was tweeting about the game. It was just showing you. I didn't realize that it was game fiction at first, because it just seemed like it was happening too rapidly and randomly. And then I realized that it was happening based on stuff that I was doing.
Yeah,
I don't know that I actually enjoy the gameplay. It's weird. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I wasn't big into Fruit Ninja, and a third of this is Fruit Ninja.
Wait, really?
Sure.
Kinda.
Oh, the shooting, the fish? Shooting, the part where you have to cut all the watermelons in half with a katana.
Yeah, the gameplay itself is not super awesome. Like, we just talked recently about how games where you have to tilt stuff, like Temple Run, whatever, is kind of bullshit. Mm. And I don't really like that. But it was okay, given that I'm not really fond of that as a mechanic. I think it's reasonably fun. I mean, there's definitely a bunch of strategy to how you try
and
to
It's clever how you have to do it, like, both ways, like how you're trying to avoid all the fish and then hit all the fish. And it plays the music backwards as you're going back up.
Right.
I always just found the going back up really boring. Like, I liked the thing where you were avoiding and going down, and then when I hit the bottom, I was both like, ah, fuck, I hit the bottom. But then also, now I just have to fucking do this third of the game that I just actively very much do not enjoy.
Hmm.
You know, for a game that I wasn't even sure if it was really a game, I played a bunch of it, and I went ahead and just actually collected everything and got 100% completion.
Yeah. I probably will as well. I haven't been playing it in large chunks. I've just been playing it a couple of goes before bed, you know? But
yeah. The last four fish are like a weird pseudo-puzzle thing. Hmm. So beware of that if you're just trying to find them normally.
Every day when the stupid programmable thermostat in this place decides no one is at home, so we should make it as cold as the fucking Arctic, I go and I turn the heat up, and then I sit in front of a heat register, and I play a couple of rounds of ridiculous fishing until
to
I get
warm yourself up.
Too hot.
It's like the opposite of ice fishing, really. Heat register fishing.
Sure. Although, you're pretty warm when you're ice fishing, I think. You put on... because you got, like, a fireplace in the little shack.
Oh, yeah? Do you?
Or a kerosene heater or something. Yeah, they're always... You got a cooler of beer, and you wouldn't need a cooler if it wasn't hot in there.
Okay. I thought the danger of that would be that the ice would melt and the whole shack would
fall down.
There's
a lot of ice, I think, in these situations. Like, if there's enough ice to hold up a shack, there is definitely enough ice to hold up a shack that is on fire.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Ice fishing seems like it would be fun. Because it's a lot of just, like, there's a lot of gear involved. There is a little house.
Okay.
That is very, very small and very simple, you know?
There's a saw to cut a hole in some ice.
Sure, you borrow that from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the idea of just sitting around with friends, drinking, and occasionally pulling up a fish.
I don't know that I think it's more of a solitary thing, though. Like, everybody has their own shack.
What? This is sounding less and less fun.
No way.
I would not want to just sit there drinking beer by myself. Maybe someday, sometimes pulling up a fish.
Wow, because that sounds exactly like a thing that I would want to do.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. Man.
I would want to do that more if I liked beer or fish.
Huh. Well, I like both of those things. Okay, what if you were sitting in a shack with Phil Fish and you were trying to... You were sinking hooks into the water to try and catch beer.
Huh.
Also, you're listening to fish on a jam box.
Right.
That's in a plastic bag.
What's in your ice box?
Yeah, the jaw bag jam sack. I'm so sad that my jaw bag jam sack plan didn't pan out.
Didn't pan sack? What was wrong with it?
Well, so my plan was I'm going to get my shower converted into a steam room, and then I'm going to sit in the steam room listening to podcasts.
Okay.
On the jaw bag jam sack.
Okay.
Which I Bluetooth connect my phone to.
And your phone and is outside
and
the
shower.
Yeah,
the phone's
entirely
outside the shower, and I put the jawbone jam box in a Ziploc bag.
Right.
So I can put the jawbone jam box in a Ziploc bag, thus making it a jaw bag jam sack.
Right.
But, like, the work that was done on the shower rendered the acoustics inside there.
Ooh.
It is impossible to listen to anything.
Have you tried lining the walls with towels?
There wasn't any way. So, like, if you just have a box that's made out of tiles, there is no way to like, unless you just want to drive a nail through the tiles, breaking them.
Whoa.
There's no way to put a towel there.
Can't you just tape towels to the tiles?
Well, I think that works until you turn on the water.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I didn't think of about this, you know.
What if you had made it such that the walls were slightly convex?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Is the primary problem here.
Well, okay. So instead of towels, just get a piece of audio foam baffling that can stand on its own.
Okay.
So it doesn't need support.
I guess you don't have to baffle the outside. I could just make a
need one wall.
I could make like a pyramid of baffle and put it over the drain. So then I would both be able to listen to podcasts and drown. Yeah.
That's definitely an advantage if what you're seeking is death.
Yeah, the sweet release of death accompanied by a podcast.
Right.
What podcast would you want to listen to if you were deliberately drowning yourself?
Radiolab.
Yeah, you think? Those are pretty depressing anyway.
If I wanted to go, I think I'd want to
go
to Radiolab.
You know, it's a podcast about finding the truth, and the truth is like pretty much what H.P. Lovecraft was afraid of. Yep. Big old universe doesn't give a fuck about you.
Yep.
None of this is going to matter soon anyway. Just do whatever, guys. Seriously, just do whatever. Good old Lovecraft. Well, he's in a better place now.
The clutches of some elder god.
And you've been playing a lot of Minecraft, I presume?
Yeah. I actually had kind of a crazy experience today. I built this sort of big arena sort of space in a nether fortress because I'm farming wither skeletons for their skulls for a thing I want to build.
Okay.
And
what do you build out of wither skulls?
A wither, which you then kill, and it drops a beacon star that you use to make this sort of... It looks kind of like a searchlight, but it also... provides beneficial potion effects if you're standing near it. I mainly just want it for the weird searchlight effect, though. But, I've got this big open dark area in which I'm running around killing these wither skeletons to try and get this rare drop of their skull. And also having to kill the zombie pigmen because they occupy, like, the spawn limits, you know, because there's only so many monsters can be in a space at a time. And I managed to get killed by a bunch of zombie pigmen. And because it's in the nether, when you die, you have a lot of time to recover because those chunks get unloaded from memory until you get back there and get near it. So, you know, so it's like, all right, picked up some food and got a speed potion and headed back in there. And expecting that because all those chunks unloaded, all the zombie pigmen will be gone and I can just wander back and pick up all my gear, which is just going to be sitting there on the floor, no big deal. I get back there and all the zombie pigmen have despawned except for one who is standing there in the pile of all my stuff, wearing my armor. And awesome. because I had no gear, he just obliterated me. And so I then had to make some crap backup armor and get some actual, like, strength and regeneration potions and go back there and kick this guy's ass and take my armor back.
That's awesome.
It was pretty exciting.
Is it that pigmen can pick up items that are on the ground and like equip them and stuff?
I think not every, like, okay, zombies and I think skeletons and obviously pigmen cannot always do it, but sometimes when one spawns, it'll have the flag set that allows it to pick things up, and if it happens to pick up something useful, it'll use it.
That's cool. And you could see that it was wearing. Was it like?
Yeah, it was actually wearing. Yeah, my diamond armor. And I wish I had had the presence of mind to take a screenshot of it. Yeah, because it was It was, man, he might have well have just have been standing there giving me the finger.
So then, here's a question. So then if you died again and it unloaded those chunks again, it didn't unload that pig man?
No, I think that he was exempt from being unloaded like the rest of the monsters because he was wearing some of my stuff.
Huh.
Well, yeah, that's friendly.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
That's pretty friendly. I agreed. That does make dying that much more perilous.
Yeah.
The more Minecraft becomes a game, the less I want to play it.
Really?
Yeah.
The less time I have, the more I want to play it. Like, I mean, I miss it. I think it's a great game, and I would love to go back.
I want Minecraft to just be a collection of systems. Like, I don't want... The idea of, like, the dragon stuff, I mean, the idea that there is a progression that they have decided on, like, it just sort of spoils it, right? Because, like, when it was unfinished, it could have been anything. It was just this thing that was just bristling with possibilities. And the more decisions that actually get made, it is more fun to imagine an alchemy system in Minecraft than it is to play with the alchemy system that they arrived at.
Hmm. I mean, I think that's the danger of every game. Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah, but I wasn't playing every game before all of these decisions had been made.
Okay.
You know? And that's, like, in all of the stuff that I've done since I started playing on our multiplayer server again, I just haven't bothered with potions. You know, like, this just doesn't seem, like, fun. Like, the only reason that I would want these potions...
isn't particularly fun, but they're very useful.
But the only reason that I would use potions is if I was, like, trying to, like, oh, I'll go fight some hard monsters, and I don't want to fight hard monsters.
Well, you know, I used speed potions to get around faster, and I'd occasionally use like fire resistant stuff so that I could like swim in the lava. Like,
what do you make? What do you make speed potions out of?
Sugar.
Chicken.
Yeah, sugar.
Okay. They have. There's a new one. There's a night vision potion that's pretty.
Oh,
good,
see, that
too.
Sounds cool.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Like, it seems like
it's really neat in the Nether because it makes the sky like bright red.
Huh? Is there a sky in the Nether?
Well, no, but
there's fog in the distance.
Yeah, it's
right?
like the draw distance becomes bright red.
I see. Huh. Yeah, I feel like I'd have to take a couple of days just to learn all the stuff that they've added since the last time I played.
Most of it is just redstone stuff that's too complicated for me.
Yeah, it's not too complicated. You just don't care.
Sure. I could.
It is,
well,
circuitry in space.
It isn't that I don't care. Like, I would like to be able to make a secret door between two things in my castle without having to have an entire room of machinery to support the secret door.
The thing that I agree with you that that's kind of annoying, but the thing that I think is interesting is it would probably be necessary in the real world to have a bunch of like machinery to do stuff like that, and it gives you a sense of scale for the castle
that
you're eventually going to build.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't, right? Because... So I looked into when Melissa's old room, you know, Russell's old room,
right?
That was going to be the library,
right,
in my house. And I was like, all right, well, how much would it cost to get bookshelves built into all the walls here? Well, that's an amount of money. How much would it cost to get bookshelves along the entire wall, including where the closet is, and have one of those bookshelves be a secret passage that swings open, and then that closet becomes a secret room with a ladder that leads to the bell tower that I will eventually add onto the house. And it turned out to not be that much more money. So I was really looking at it.
I thought it
really
was like an extra $10,000 or $12,000.
But it was only twice as much as having the shelves put in the first place, right? Like, it is, and it ended up being so expensive that I didn't do it.
Right.
Because it's like, I don't...
That's insanity.
Yeah, it is kind of nuts. Like, the idea that it would cost $20,000 to
put... But
that's
not...
I mean, the idea that it would cost $10,000
to put... That's just a hinged shelves system, right? Like, that's not like a door that you can push a button and the button, like, causes a bunch of stuff to move out of the way.
But you can make it play a sound.
Sure.
But that machinery is not... Like, it's not like the secret room had to be filled with giant gears that... All they did was made it so the secret room existed, right? Like, you just can't, because there are not pistons that move more than one block, right? It is impossible to do like just a thing where it's like, all right, well, I'm going to push a button and this section of the wall is going to slide back far enough to walk through, and there only needs to be enough room in the ground to fit the wall and the pistons that are connected to the wall, right? Like, there, it's it the way that wiring has to work. Like, if you built a house in the real world, you don't have to build an extra 4 walls thickness worth of shit to put wire on the walls, right? It's just, it is the fact that wiring requires empty space. Wiring does not take up space, but requires empty space in Minecraft. That just makes it so machinery looks crazy.
Sure.
And takes up a tremendous amount of space.
Fair enough.
You know? Like, if
like a
you
circuit
could,
board.
If you could build a machine and then put it inside a block, right? If this block was just, if you could make a digital logic block.
Right, right.
That then just had like an input and some outputs or whatever.
That exists in mods.
Yeah.
Not in the vanilla game though.
But even that still isn't going to solve the like having stuff that does interesting things
just
in the in
pistons,
the world.
Pistons that can move more than one fucking space would solve. It would make it so I can do everything that I want.
Hmm.
You know, I also learned how to dig with dynamite. I got some dynamite from Dave.
To dig with dynamite?
Yeah, I had been excavating this giant, hollowing out this mountain and just putting, you know, my fortress in it. Uh-huh. And I was digging it all out by hand, and I was like, would it be faster to dig with dynamite? And everybody was like, yes. So I started doing that, and it's rad.
Do you just drop dynamite down a hole?
You just put dynamite in holes and then set it on fire, and then it's like, boom.
The recent update added a thing where you can put TNT in a minecart, and then there's a special minecart rail that will activate a TNT cart.
That sounds like a lot of work for for destroying your mine cart system.
Well, what have you been playing, Kevin?
In addition to Ridiculous Fishing, I played through. I had suggested a game as an assignment that we just didn't end up going with, called Galaxy on Fire 2. And I'm glad we didn't, because it's kind of bullshit. But I went ahead and played through it. It's it was recommended on some forum as a game that was sort of like Space Miner. And I was like, you know, I really like that Space Miner game. I wonder if there's other games out there that would sort of scratch that itch. And it's, I could see why somebody would recommend this. It is a game where you have a spaceship and you mine rocks and you go out and you get upgrades to your ship and that kind of thing. So it's got a lot of the same overarching mechanical systems, but the mining mini game is awful. It is just terrible.
I mean, Space Miner was basically like just a complicated RPG
asteroids. Asteroids
is great.
Fun.
Oh,
yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And this was like a combination of kind of a bullshit mining mini game and like a halfway between Trade Wars and Drug Wars mechanism in terms of the economy and like the stuff that was going on out in the world. And then like there was sort of like a decent, you know, sort of space dogfighting stuff that you like, you, cause you float, you actually flew a ship around and could mount, you know, weapons on it, and you could get turrets and faster engines and stuff like that. So like there was some stuff that kept it interesting enough for me to actually bother playing with. I basically stopped mining once I realized that was just not worth it. And then sort of leveraged the ability to trade things at ridiculous prices every once in a while to actually make to make a profit.
Riff, did you ever go through a Dope Wars phase?
Not Dope Wars in particular. I feel like there was something similar that I played
There were
BBS
other games
somewhere
that were similar to it.
There's an iOS Candy Wars is the right iOS version, because they wouldn't let them use the, which it kind of makes it funny. It's like chocolate addicts are buying,
right,
are paying extremely high prices. I played a shitload of Dope Wars on a Palm Pilot.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like I had this, but there were three games that when I went back to school, I bought a Palm Pilot.
Okay.
And it was great. It was basically like having an iPhone that wasn't connected to the internet,
Okay.
But nothing was connected to the internet back then because it was the 70s. but it honestly was like super useful to me, like for writing down my assignments and stuff, right? Like it was right. like just having a notebook and a calculator and three games. I must have played. I wore out the part of the screen where you draw cards in the version of I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's the Milebones, Millsboro.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Playing that game on a computer was just fucking great.
Huh.
And then there was another game where there's like stuff on a grid, and I'm. It was a, not exactly a match three. Game. It was vaguely similar to Chip Chain in some ways. I don't know that there is a name for this game, but there have been ports of it to various systems. You have a grid, like an 8x8 grid.
Okay.
And every move that you make, the computer randomly drops in some symbols
right.
onto the grid. And your move consists of taking a symbol and moving it to any space that it could shift to
right.
on the board. And when you get three symbols in a row, it eliminates them and gives you a free move without the computer dumping any new garbage in. So it's just a matter of like taking advantage of the space that exists and hoping to get lucky with what the computer's putting there. But then fucking Dope Wars, that even though Dope Wars is just 100% transparent
right.
in... And you know that all you are doing is playing using the like what will be the optimal strategy if the clouds part
right.
and the RNG decides to bestow the exact right sequence
yeah.
on you.
I pissed off a friend once because I think she also maybe it was a Palm Pilot or whatever, and like we were on a car trip. And like the first, she handed me the game. The thing is like, oh, you know, see how well you can do it compared to my high score. And like the very first thing I did was buy a bunch of cocaine that was really cheap. And then the next turn, it was like crazy high prices for cocaine.
There is an occasional confluence of events
yeah.
that multiplies the price twice
yep.
of a particular commodity. And I hadn't thought about that, but this is sort of like what we're experiencing oh, yeah. with Bump, right? Bump, which is this year's Portaloosis.
Right.
It is not as aesthetically like thought provoking and interesting as, although I never actually played Portaloosis more than just the first game.
Yeah. You should.
But man, have I been playing the fuck out of Bump.
Yeah, so Bump is a 7-day roguelike by Aaron Steed. And it's not there's not a lot to it, but the systems that exist are really interesting, and like there's a bunch of minutia to the way that it works. It's a
turn-based platformer.
Yeah.
It's everything is on a grid. There are not that many sets. So there are bricks.
Yeah.
There are bricks with diamonds in them, there are bricks with bombs in them, there are spikes, and there are enemies.
Moving spikes, yeah.
Which are moving spikes. Spikes you can move onto from the side. You just can't land on them from the top. Enemies move back and forth.
Yep.
One space per turn if they can.
Yep.
Bombs destroy themselves and anything in the four cardinal directions from them. Other bombs will chain react.
Yep.
Bump it, like banging your head into bricks transmits upwards, and it will cash in any diamonds that you hit
for like 500 points.
It will knock loose any spikes, which then begin to fall, destroying bricks at a rate of one per turn.
Yeah.
Below it.
And then there come to be these very specific, so you can jump diagonally. You move before the spikes move. So that it's like you move, then the enemies move, then the spikes move. And you can use that sequence of events to your advantage, but it also screws you in other circumstances, which is you start to learn these like
yeah like little, if there is one of the enemies on a two space wide platform, you are fucked. You cannot land anywhere on that. You can't traverse that platform.
Yeah, because either the enemy is in the space you want to move into and you'll hit it, or it's not yet in the space and you move there, and because in it they move after you, it will move into the space that you're in and you'll hit it. And so either way you die. So you can, if an enemy in a three wide platform, you can maneuver around as long as you're careful about the timing, but a two wide platform, you can't do it all. And the levels are generated randomly. I mean, there's clearly some rules which make them mostly traversable, but occasionally you'll just get to a place where there's just no way through, which is kind of frustrating.
I don't know if you ever get to a place where you would have been stuck necessarily, right? Like
I've started a game and had no way to proceed.
You know what? I have too. Yeah.
So there's definitely situations where that's possible.
But you start the game, you have 300 moves 400. And 400 moves. Yeah. Okay. So you have a time limit, which is the number of moves.
Yeah.
And you're trying to score as many points as you can. There's like nothing. And so for a while, all there is diamonds. And then for a while there's diamonds and spikes. And then I guess there may be spikes to begin with, but then it starts to introduce enemies, and then it starts to introduce bombs. And I think the frequencies of enemies and bombs increases the further you move to the right, or it might just be.
It could just be random.
You know, it could just be like a fixed, like a step function. But
it's really compelling for such a simple concept.
There's a score, right? You earn a score, and so we were just going back and forth for a while until I achieved the master score, which you cannot ever hope to achieve.
Yeah, it's tough.
until the game just decides to give you.
I had one game where I was like, the starting setup was just great. I had like 10,000 points in like 50 moves, and I was like, oh, this is going to be the one. And then I fucked it up, and I hit a spike in a way that I wasn't supposed to, and I just lost. And I was like, fuck.
There is something about it that is just.
Yeah, it's good.
Like,
bump, everyone. Check it out.
Robot Acid. Acid Robot.
Robot Acid.
Robotacid.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Do a Google search for 7-day roguelike bump.
Yeah, man. It's good. I played a handful of other games in the 7-day roguelike competition. This is becoming a San Francisco theme.
Yeah.
Is this a new one?
This is the one that just happened this past year.
The 2013 one, yeah.
Okay.
It happened, it ended this past Saturday. I played one where you're like a sperm. And all of the enemies are, I guess, things that can happen inside a lady's yoni.
Oh, I thought they weren't just other sperm.
No, they were like white blood cells and spiders. I don't know.
Centipedes.
I don't know what's in there. I played all the ones that you could play in a browser. Like, I wasn't about, like, downloading roguelikes and playing them. I know that's not in the spirit of roguelikes. But I did play a little bit of the awesome rogue.
Right.
It was sort of hard to. It seems like the eighth day would have been when they wrote the documentation, because I found it a little hard to tell what was going on. But, you know, I mean, it was playable. It was written in some sort of engine. It was written in some sort of roguelike engine where all of the game logic was handled in Lua, which is. Interesting.
Do you think a really proficient 7-day roguelike would let you rest on the last day? So you would just make the game in the first 6 days, and then you would take a break.
I mean, maybe that's what the cool kids do, and you know, like, I mean, maybe what the ninjas do, the ninja programmers, is they just make a roguelike in one day, and then they just like spend the next 6 days at the beach,
or they make a
touching ladies
a program. To make a roguelike in 7 days, and then they go to the beach.
Okay. Yeah, they create an evolutionary algorithm to make the best roguelike.
Yep.
And then they just let it run for 7 days. And then it produces bump.
Yep.
Ah, God. I want to stop recording so I can play bump some more.
You could just play it while we're recording.
I could.
There's nothing stopping you.
Probably wiggle the table, make some noise in the mic.
Probably make some noise, yeah.
I'm sorry, this was your story, though.
No, it's all right. That's basically all I've been playing.
Yeah, I wish that Galaxy on Fire 2 game was better.
Yeah, it had a bunch of promise. The writing was kind of terrible. The story ended up being perhaps the dumbest story I've ever encountered in a video game.
Oh, really?
Have you played StarCraft 2?
I have not.
Dumbest video game story is a high bar.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. It's... I don't even really want to go.
I was happy that starting the tutorial gives you the veteran achievement. Because your character is a veteran of some war.
Right. Well, because it's Galaxy on Fire 2.
Right. Oh. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, that's the joke there, I think.
I finished the StarCraft 2 Zerg campaign.
Yeah?
And, you know, I don't know how much of the previous episode of me talking about how dumb the story is in StarCraft 2 Heart of the Swarm is going to make it into this. I really, really enjoyed playing the campaign. Like,
it looked like fun.
Yeah.
While I was watching over your shoulder.
They have really, like, figured out how to make campaign RTS missions fun. It just takes... The further you get through the game, the more of your base is just built for you to begin with. You know, it's like, starts out like, oh, I'm infiltrating this place, and then you're, you know, you're... This one was interesting, too, because you have Kerrigan as a hero unit almost all the time. So you always have this, like, really powerful unit that will respawn.
Hmm.
Right, that you can just, you know, use to explore the map or use to, like, back you up in tough fights or whatever.
Is she productive at all, or does she just for fighting? Does she produce units?
When you level her all the way up, she gets a choice of three abilities. One of them is do a bunch of AoE damage to units and structures. One of them is to produce a couple of really big units, or one really big unit. Hmm. And another one is to produce just a huge clutch of smaller units.
Oh, interesting.
What did you
choose?
The big clutch of smaller units.
Interesting.
Because it's just like, I mean, I was playing it on normal, which is extremely easy, but almost always, and the only times that I ever had trouble was because of this strategy. It has given you a button to just select all of your fighting units at once, and so I was just never dividing up forces into like, oh, you guys stay at home and defend the base while I take this force out to attack the enemy. It was always like, everybody go here, everybody go here. So on bigger maps, I was
also
like,
all you built were Hydralisks.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, all I built was Hydralisks. Because what else do you need? Hydralisks are fucking rad.
They're pretty great. They're a little fragile.
They do a lot of damage.
Yep.
Yeah. Just a, like, glass cannons are fine if you have an infinite number of them.
Hmm.
Which you do. You know, I could have maybe used some queens to heal them. I don't know. I had a lot of fun, and I started playing against AI, and you'll be happy to know that after my three matchmaking rounds against the AI, it assigned me easy.
Nice.
although I'm like maybe a third of the way from easy to medium. My skills at StarCraft II place me not quite at the lowest possible level.
So, I mean, can you just play the AI indefinitely? Is that just one of the modes?
Yeah, it is now. It's just like, it matchmakes you against the AI to the point where you win half the time and lose half the time.
That's cool.
Huh. It is, yeah.
Nice.
It would be, what would be real fun is if I had a buddy
to fight against the AI in 2v2 battles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I miss you, Kevin. I wish you had time to play video games with me.
I also wish I had time to play video games with you. Mm.
I've continued to play a lot of that 8-ball pool game on my phone also. That's cool. Another thing that I sometimes do in front of the heating register. So I hadn't really talked about the way that you level up in this pool game, but it's interesting and it's pretty effective. So there are different pool halls that you can play in, and all it is like different brackets of matchmaking. Like, once you've played a number of games, either, like, won a certain number or lost four times that number, you'll level up. And as you level...
So everybody has access to the higher tiers if you play enough.
If you play enough,
Even a terrible player that loses...
Yeah, a terrible player who loses 1,000 games will be at the place where a good player's won 250 games is.
Okay.
But you... The wagers go up as you unlock these higher tier pool halls. The wagers go up. So like you get 250 of these coins a day, mm-hmm. and in the first pool hall you can play for 25 coins. You're betting 25 coins. You know, each of you put in 25, and then if you win, you get the 50, and if they win, they get the 50. And the third tier, which is where I'm playing now, you're betting twice your daily allotment. Like, wow. You get 250 coins a day, and you're playing for 500 from each person. Oh, so if you're not winning, you need to either go and, you know, build up a bankroll in the lower ones. And it's, there are fewer and fewer people in every successive tier, and they are people who have played more and more of the game. So like the games that I play in this hall are more often than not like the games where they will break and get five balls in, and then on your turn you get six in and then fuck something up, and then on their next turn they win or whatever.
Wow.
Like they or you'll play and they will break and just run the table. Right, like the more you play it, the harder the opponents that you're pitted against.
And they're just humans.
Yeah, they're just
That's
humans.
Cool. Which yeah, no, is, I am it, super
yeah,
impressed.
Yeah, and
their
I mean, and it's not, it is not strategy. Like a it's not like a revolutionary idea.
No.
You know, it's like you, the more of this you play, the more we're going to matchmake you with people who play it more.
Right, but
just
it's
in terms of quantity,
like you get to decide what level of risk you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Right, by deciding to play in that pool hall. I mean, it's, and I don't think it's sketchy either, because you always have the option, like, if you just want to play the game, you can play it at the lowest pool
yeah,
hall.
Yeah, and you
like,
get 10 games, 10 times a day for free, even yeah. if you lose every game, like, and you can just play pool with some dudes.
Yeah, and, but, you know, it there's just this hint of capitalism, I guess, in it, where in order to play more, you give them some money to get some more coins or whatever.
Yeah. Which I don't remember what the tiers are like, but I mean, I feel like there's a fucking $100 option in the cash shop.
Sure.
There are custom pool cues that they sell for $25. Like a $25 in-app purchase to just get like a lightsaber for your pool cue.
Is it cash only, or can you use
yes,
the in-game
a lot
currency?
Of them they're, it's like the shop is half and half. There there are queues that are 250,000 pool coins.
Okay.
Right, so it's like 1,000 days or a lot of, I don't know what, you know, there are three more pool halls past the one where I'm at, so I don't know if you're getting to the point where you're betting a month's worth of daily allotment of coins
Crazy.
Per game or what, but I mean, it's like I kind of want to, I played against a guy. Like, I've gotten to the third pool hall, and I'm level 13 or 14 or something. I played against a guy who was level 58 today.
Whoa.
I'm like, wow, that guy's played a lot of this fucking pool game. Like,
jeez.
It's so satisfying. It is just like...
What's it called again?
It's
8-ball pool.
It's 8-pool or 8-ball pool. I don't actually know what the name of the game is.
Okay.
Because I didn't actually search for it, right? I found it in the top free apps. It might not have been top free. It might have cost $1 or $2 or $3 or something. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess not everybody is as excited about pool as I am. I have found that to be something, though, that me and the people that I get along with well tend to have in common,
like
is cool. Like a healthy mm-hmm. respect for the drinking sports.
I feel like in high school I was much better at pool than I am.
Well, you
now.
Also had a pool table in your frat house.
No, in high school.
Oh.
Like we had a pool table in my basement.
Oh, I forgot that you were rich
yeah.
in high school. I didn't have a pool table in my house
well,
until I was a grown ass man. In fact, that was the only thing that I ever want. Like, there were two things that in my mind were like the marks of what I would have if I were successful beyond my wildest dreams.
Grand piano.
I would have a grand piano and I would have a pool table in my house.
And both in the same.
Yeah, I've had both of those things for.
You have one on top
not,
of
the not stand up video game cabinets?
That I didn't
I mean,
think
you
was
have
a possibility.
That
I didn't think was a possibility. And that was cheaper than both of those things.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy. Although they fucking break all the time.
Yeah.
And the guys in town who tell you they're going to fix them are just fucking shyster thief assholes.
So they sneak around and silently kill people?
Assassin?
Thief.
Thief? Is that what a thief does?
Yeah, isn't that what thief? Or do you not kill anybody?
They fire water arrows at the light fixtures in my
Moss
house. And I'm like,
arrows.
Dude, those are not actual... torches. They're fucking I'm like, you're gonna ruin my house by just spraying water on my light fixtures. Like, just stop it, man. Just like,
I think
the switch is right there.
I mean, a water arrow would also probably make the light go out.
Well, if you hit it head on. Right, but I mean, like, just a you know, a cookie arrow would also do that if you fired it at...
Oh, sure. The most delicious arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, but then there's no evidence left behind. Like, with a cookie arrow, there's, like, all these crumbs, and you're like,
Well, no, but the thing is, a cookie arrow, you fire a cookie arrow at a guy's light fixture, and it's like, not only is your light broken... And you're going to need to use that, like, $4 broken light bulb remover that you bought from Amazon a couple months ago.
Or a potato.
Yeah, fucking whatever, man.
Yeah, but I've never been able to get the potato trick to work.
Yep.
But it works fine.
Anyway, so you got to fix this light, and you're going to get ants.
Oh, I see.
And you know what happens?
Thanks, ants.
And here's the problem. In my house, whenever you get ants, the next thing you get is cockroaches. And whenever you get cockroaches, the next thing you get is fucking scorpions. Thanks, Obama.
Huh. You've already got scorpions.
God.
So we have both ants and cockroaches?
There haven't been scorpions inside in a while.
Well, there's not been a lot of scorpions.
Well, they're mostly they're dead. Like, they get inside.
Those are the empty husks.
They get inside and then they die soon after because of the... thick coating of poison placed on every hole in my house.
On every surface.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to talk to you about the baked goods that I've made in your kitchen.
Right.
And how they've been killing everyone that I've been giving them to.
Cookie arrows, man.
Yeah. Well, I've also been using the cookies that I bake in your kitchen for my cookie launcher. So that's
you had been making souffle arrows, but they're just so expensive.
Yeah, and
they don't... It takes so many tries to get them right.
Yeah. They don't rise properly. They're just not worth their weight in cheese.
So I played Ridiculous Fishing and that pool game.
Is there like just a post-it note that you need or something?
A million bump. Just bump. Bump, bump, bump. It's like, guys, I want another bump.
It's pretty funny.
I would like to do another bump.
I'd be in the other room and I'd be like, I hear him going for a high score.
Yeah,
we have a post-it note which has the high score on it. And I think it's
36,090. Yeah, is I think.
Where so maybe our listeners can get involved.
Yeah,
post screenshots to the forums.
Yeah, bump.
Pretty great.
Also play Awesome Robe. I mean, it is cool that our listener population has sufficient overlaps with other stuff that we know. But I think this was not their first entry. This was just like somebody who was already participating in the 7-day roguelike also happened to be a video games hot dog listener and suffered through our bullshit forum sign up bullshit.
It's like a video game in and of itself.
All right. This took for fucking ever. I guess there was a big break in the middle. What's in the news, Kevin?
Well, Richard Garriott is in space.
Still?
No. Again?
Oh, right. Sorry. Richard Garriott died in space the first time. So really, like all of us, he's still dead in space.
His alien clone has come back to Earth and launched a Kickstarter, though, called Shroud of the Avatar, which is, as he puts it, the sort of spiritual successor to... his Ultima series. It sounds like he's particularly excited about Ultima 4's sort of mechanics or whatever. So
there was a video, the Kickstarter video is Richard Garriott talking about some stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's gameplay footage overlaid on his speech. And he talks about like some treatise he wrote on like the pillars of what a new RPG needed to be. And one of them was, like, compelling, socially relevant stories. And while he was reading the compelling, socially relevant stories bullet point, the gameplay that was being shown was a guy walking up to a female NPC who says, "If you can spare a few coins, I will sell you this friendly duck." And later he said something about this. And implied that, like, if you bought the duck from the woman, later she would be glad. And that's how it was socially relevant.
That's socially relevant.
But I...
Well, I mean, maybe he literally did mean not socially relevant to this world, but, like...
Socially relevant to the duck.
socially relevant to the characters in the game. Like, it's a, your actions have an impact on the NPC's moods.
Right. Sure. I do not. I think that Richard Garriott is a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I think that he is a smart guy.
Yeah.
And I think that he did a tremendous amount of work that was foundational in the establishment of tropes of the Western RPG, which is a thing that I care very deeply about. Mm-hmm. I feel like Richard Garriott, just by existing and being who he was tremendously influential of me. And I do not trust that guy to make a game at this point.
Hmm.
After hearing him say, like, out loud in a room, that he basically does not give a fuck about video games anymore.
He just wants to make money.
Yeah, like, any game, he said, any game that is not a top 10 seller is a meaningless distraction. And that was the point at which I'm like, man, fuck. And like, when we sat and talked to him for a long time.
About an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And my goal was to get him to say one thing that indicated that he gave a fuck at all about video games. And I finally did, but it was just by being kind of mean.
Hmm.
And, you know, getting him to acknowledge that he was prouder of Ultima 4 than he was of Ultima Online, even though Ultima Online made
more money.
A 100 times or 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times as much money. And it was... Like, he just wants to make money to go back into space. And... Yeah, there's people that are like, what the fuck, man? He sued NCSoft for $30 million. Why doesn't he use some of that to make this game instead of asking for it to be crowdfunded? And I don't begrudge him asking for it to be crowdfunded. I'm not going to back it because I don't really want to play it, I don't think. You know, if it comes out and people say it's good, then I'll be like, huh, okay. Must have been somebody on the team that cared about video games.
I mean, I think he does care about video games, but I don't know that he loves them and wants to marry them the way that you do.
The way that he used to.
Hmm.
I used to think, oh, if Richard Garriott can grow up and make love to video games instead of ladies, then so can I. But turns out he just like married some French girl and took her name. And now what hope do I have?
I think what you don't understand is that you need to be weightless to make love to video games.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. It only works in space.
Right. It all comes around.
Okay.
It all comes around. Okay.
So no wonder he's so eager to get back up there.
Yeah. He must be fiending.
All right, I'm sorry, Richard. I take back every negative thing that I said about you. Kevin, what's in the news?
Well,
we're going to end up releasing some crazy super episode because I'll probably put some of the news from last show in and just edit out Riff.
The EA CEO, John Ricciatello. John Ricciatello is stepping down because of terrible earnings. The stock price dropped like a rock back in, 2008 or whatever, and has just never recovered. And I think he's sort of fallen on his sword. People are attributing it to always on DRM, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, your comment that you posted on that article about SimCity, that was what did the trick.
Yeah,
finally. And he's falling on his sword, which is made of 2 years of his current salary and severance, and God knows how much stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for the guy.
CEOs, man, is there anything worse?
It's interesting because he was somebody who actually played video games and not just saying that he was playing whatever the current EA game was, right? Like, he would actually...
Was he?
He actually would talk about other video games from other, like, publishers that he was playing and thought...
Did he mostly play those, like, dating sims?
Yeah, it was mostly dating sims.
Riff, what do you call that kind of porn that's, like, girls pretending to be little girls? Oh, don't act like you don't know.
It's lolly something. I don't know.
Is it? Because I feel like Lolly, lowly, like Lolita.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. But
well, yeah, that's where it comes from. But I think there's
is like
suffix.
A convention for those people, right?
Yeah, Lolicon. Let's see here. Shroud of the Avatar, which is Gareth's super awesome video game Kickstarter, finally funded. So it's got like a little over a week or so left. And
wait, what?
Gareth's Kickstarter.
It has a week left.
It's like 2 weeks left or something.
Huh. I thought it launched in between the last two shows. I feel like it.
I don't know.
Even a week in yet.
Oh, it's way over a week in, I think.
Huh.
Maybe it has like
still has that video.
18 days or. Maybe
I'm just going to edit in our discussion about the Kickstarter from last show.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's funded. It's,
anyway,
it's,
sorry, Richard, about all those mean things I said about you.
It's got its $1 million, and now they're working on stretch goals. Let's see here. Maxis is actually...
Okay, one of their stretch goals is if they reach $2 million, they will give every backer this friendly duck.
Maxis is giving away free games to the SimCity folks.
Well, EA is giving free games to.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but
one
Maxis
of the
is
options
the one
was says, SimCity 4.
Yeah, it's kind of you got to imagine that somebody thought that would be funny and somehow got it through. I did notice there being a lot less hard drive space on this laptop when I went to record these shows, and it is because Emily's free game, Dead Space 3. Was
finally installed.
Yeah, it got installed. And it's like fucking 11 gigs.
Wow.
On a 110 gig hard drive that I. Because I bought the laptop with the fucking SSD in it so that it would have really long battery life.
Yeah.
I never use it unplugged. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me.
I try using my laptop unplugged and it only lasts about 2 hours. It's like batteries are terrible technology. I really hope that this.
They have not changed since Benjamin Franklin invented them.
I hope that this graphene. Capacitor thing is real, and that we start getting batteries that have the same like power density as lithium ion, but
according to
instantly
according to internet comments, everything is bullshit.
Okay.
All right. Do you have something to say that will last long enough that I can go get a beer?
Sure.
All right, because I don't know if the show can go on without me interrupting
everything I say.
That everyone says with some snarky, stupid wordplay.
Why, Riff, have you seen that Supergiant, the people that made Bastion, have announced a new video game?
Why, yes, I did. I even saw a screenshot of that video game. Although I did not click through to look at the video because I don't look at videos.
I watched the video. It looks like it's stylistically it has a lot of things in common with Bastion, it seems like. But it seems to be set like in a futuristic, you know, steampunky, cyberpunky type.
It has a lot of stuff gameplay wise in common with Bastion, but not really aesthetically.
I thought aesthetically it looked like the same sort of like isometric-ish style view. It looked like stuff was like the attacks kind of reminded me of stuff. The enemies moving through stuff looked reminded
the
me
fact
of
that there are only four kinds of enemies.
That I don't know.
The fact that all of the levels look exactly alike because it's dystopian.
It looks so. It's like some. It looked like the main character was like some girl with like a keyblade looking sword.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I really am curious about it. It's called Transistor. I hope it's cool and awesome. I mean, I think I'm more excited about Bastion than you are as a video game. You were sort of.
I really wanted to like. I liked its style. I just didn't feel like. I didn't feel like there was enough variety in the gameplay to sustain its length. Like, I would have really enjoyed. Bastion in 3 hours.
Huh.
Right. I mean, I was blown away. Like, I played it at Comic-Con right before it came out when they were demoing it there, and I was like, wow, that was fucking great. And then I played it when we did it as an assignment, and it was just like, man, this combat is just fucking the same thing over and over again. There are only, like, four enemies.
There are a bunch of different weapons, though, a bunch of different ways to kill enemies.
Mm.
Yeah, let's see here. Nintendo was found guilty of violating a patent on the 3D technology for the 3DS. So they were They've been told to pay $30 million to this Sony employee or the former Sony employee that patented 3D technology.
Hmm.
Like 3D technology, 3D viewing without glasses or whatever. So I don't know if that's going to hold up in the long term, but in the short term, they were found to be infringing.
Also, Video Games Hot Dog is shutting down because of this podcast patent.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, that's about it. That's all my news.
I haven't really been following. I mean, I guess these wheels turn really slow. I haven't been following what's going on with the
whole
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think probably nothing much has happened. A lot of the podcasts that I listen to have been talking about getting people to like contact their representative about the SHIELD Act, which what that does is it makes it so patent trolls, if they lose, are responsible for the legal fees of the people that they sued, which
you're still gambling a ton.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty dangerous way to go about that. Like, it sucks and is bullshit, right? The whole patent troll situation sucks and is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the worst case scenario endgame for this is that anybody who had a podcast would have to pay a license fee to this guy.
Hmm.
And
I think that would shut down most podcasts, probably.
To having to pay anything shut down most podcasts. Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, we spend some number of thousands of dollars a year
just delivering the
delivering this podcast. Yeah. And the number I saw, and I have no idea where this was or what it meant, was like $1,000 a year
for licensing.
Yeah.
I think that would shut down most people, because I think most people are probably paying.
Really, most people?
Yeah, I think there are tens or hundreds of thousands of podcasts.
Well, okay, so most, like, I think it would probably not shut down most of the podcasts that you listen to.
Well, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I just said most podcasts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe that's.
But it depends on what you mean by. I guess if you mean most podcasts by most of the ones that are listed on the thing. Yeah.
Right. Because let's say there are 20,000 podcasts. I don't actually know. But there are definitely multiple tens of thousands. I'm guessing that most of those people probably don't pay more than 50 or 100 bucks a year.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And they just use Libsyn or whatever. And I think there might be even free tiers of coverage with Libsyn. I'm not sure.
Hmm. I don't know. I emailed them and asked them, hey, is there any way that we could work together? And then they just never emailed me back.
Is it possible that you don't actually receive email? Because you've emailed a bunch of people asking things and no one has ever gotten back to you.
I mean, I think people don't like me because I'm a butthole.
Is that it?
Yeah, and I think it's like...
email address is butthole...
Buttmail. Zach.com.
Yeah.
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 You know, Zach.com is somebody whose last name is Zach. I do not approve.
Really?
Yeah.
What? So somebody could theoretically be named Zach Zach?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, you can be named anything. You go
No, the judges force parents to change kids' names all the time.
Our buddy named his kid Lando Calrissian Kwan.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I don't think any judge in the world would object to that.
No, I don't think so either. Unless it was like Judge Boring. Is that all the news?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, so the assignment.
Yeah, Dark Castle.
Dark Castle.
Yeah. This is a nostalgia fest for me. This is one of the big ones back when I was a kid. I had to wrangle a copy of the Macintosh emulator and get that working so I could play it in the proper black and white graphics and shit.
Yeah, I think the controls were... I think it was also a smoother experience, and the controls were more responsive, because playing it on the PC port was pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure so, I would have been able to tell, because I could not make it past any of the first rooms.
Really?
Nah. Oh, it kicked my ass so bad. I never beat it as a kid, but I even more did not beat it this time.
I was able to get through. I got through the trouble segment pretty easily.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did get to trouble 2. That was as far as I got on that one.
And I got to fireball 2 and shield 2.
You guys, I think there's something wrong with you. This is you guys.
Why?
Because this is the worst video game.
Wow.
That has ever... So here is my assessment.
Yeah.
So like a game where you press start on the title screen and it just crashes to the desktop and deletes a random file on your computer.
Uh-huh.
That is worse than this.
Okay.
But that doesn't count.
Okay.
Right? As far as games that are playable,
yeah,
as the designer intended,
yeah,
and do not have technical problems with them, I seriously think that this is the worst game that has ever been made.
Wow.
So what? Based on what do you say?
Trying to play it.
The control scheme is definitely questionable.
The worst thing that has ever been made.
It's not that bad. It's so like throwing, like aiming with numbers 1 through 8 or 1 through 9 or whatever is a little weird, but it makes aiming with the keyboard.
You aim with the mouse.
No, aiming with the mouse is for chumps.
Wow, that's crazy.
This is why I was able to get through the rooms, I think, because aiming with the mouse is nuts.
You can't get any like you're limited to what, like northwest if you're using the keyboard.
The mouse has exactly the same number of aims.
No, it doesn't. It has the exact same number of graphical frames, but the arc that your stone flies is in between those.
The keyboard controls for the PC. You had 1 through 8,
yeah,
as the direction that your arm would go, but then you had like plus and minus to fine tune.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
No, yeah, it is not okay. Here's.
I cannot.
You don't. You never need more than 1 through 8. I don't understand what your guy's issue is. You have your 8 arcs.
Here's what you do. Instead of playing this game,
yeah,
you get an Atari 2600. You put a Pitfall cartridge in.
Yeah.
You nail your dick to a board, and then you play Pitfall.
Can I do it without that second step? The one where I put the cartridge in?
You're not properly getting the Dark Castle experience if you don't nail your dick to something.
Okay. The game has some puzzle elements, which are pretty cool.
Yeah.
The control scheme.
How the fuck do you leave this screen? Because there's no difference between the exits and the things that are dead ends.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What? No, I literally don't know what you're talking about.
None of the screens have any indication of where you're supposed to go.
Okay.
Here's a puzzle. How the fuck do I walk off of an ankle high ledge without tripping and then doing a stupid dance?
You jump over the ledge.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude,
here's a puzzle. How do I jump?
Spacebar.
Spacebar.
Yeah. Okay. How do you jump in almost every game?
Spacebar. Hit the red button. Hit the red jump button on the Atari 2600 controller. if you can see it through the fog of pain from the nail through your dick.
I think you were playing somewhat of a different game than we were.
So this game is hard.
My version of Dark Castle didn't come with a hammer.
I'm forgetting.
But it is not hard.
I think it is. I think it is almost entirely due to the controls, and the sort of weird granularity of movement. Jump, like the platforming puzzle in Fireball 2 was awful, and that's where I couldn't get past that, which was frustrating.
Is that the one with like floating logs?
It's, yeah, like floating platforms that are moving around, and you jump, and your jump is always the same distance, but timing it so that you actually would, because you jump, the way that you jump is you jump forward, you realize that you're in midair, and then you start to fall, and there's like a bunch of like weird lag in there that it is incredibly difficult to wrap your head around when you're actually going to be over a platform and can land on it. And while you're doing that, you have to throw rocks at bats so they don't kill you. But that said, I thought it was pretty good. Like the trouble thing where you like go and you beat up the executioner and you get the you walk past the prisoners and like you stand in front of a key and they like they shake their heads like don't pick that one because if you do a giant weight falls out.
There's a lot of tricky little stuff like that. Did you ever play the sequel Beyond Dark Castle?
I did not.
It was basically this. I'm getting like a really terrible buzzing noise. Do you hear that?
Nope,
I do not.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was basically the same mechanics and stuff. It had a lot of the same art assets and the same sounds and everything, but it was a lot louder. Not louder. It was a lot longer and more elaborate.
Oh my god, we totally need to make a game and then release a sequel that is the same.
It's just
the same
louder. But there is this sequence where like to open in the sequel in order to open the door to the Black Knight's room, you have to collect these 5 orbs from around the castle. And 2 of them are at the other end of these sort of side scrolling flight stages, like R-Type style stages, except you've got like a helicopter backpack.
Okay.
And when you get to the guard tower at the other end of either the forest or the swamp, depending on which one you're doing, you have to fight a guy to get the orb. The way you get back to the antechamber of the castle is by drinking this potion that's there on the ground. But the potion is right at the beginning of where you enter the guard tower. So if you get there and haven't seen one of these potions before and don't know what it is and drink it before you go get the orb, it just sends you back to the very first room of the game.
Yeah, that sounds mean.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. There's just a ton of this kind of rude stuff that in retrospect is hilarious, but nobody would ever do it today.
Well, it's like falling into the platform into Trouble 3 and like escaping that, and it just dumps you. Like you have achieved nothing by getting out of there.
Yeah. Like in First Dark Castle, you're flipping that coin to see if you have to go do the 3 Trouble stages for no reason.
I've developed a theory on why there are no good games for the Mac.
Oh, why is that?
You assholes don't deserve good games. Dude, seriously, putting up with this shit, you lost your privileges.
Wow.
To ever have any opinions about any video game. This is seriously the worst fucking video game.
Huh.
Ever.
I thought that was reserved for the Polar Express. No, what is that game called?
The Last Express.
Last Express.
Yeah.
I thought you hated that one.
I was willing to admit that a lot of the problems that I had with The Last Express were owed to my inability to tell indistinguishable sequences of wood paneling apart from one another.
So do you not feel that your problems with this game might be because you don't know how to jump with the space bar and use numbers to aim your arm to throw rocks at bats?
At no point did the space bar actually make my dude jump.
That's weird. I think your computer is broken.
I could see how that would be a problem that would affect your enjoyment of the game, certainly.
Yeah, no, I never did figure out how to jump.
Okay.
I could
That's a problem.
A rock at bats. Oh my god, you guys. Seriously, this is the worst fucking game.
A jumping platformer game in which you can't jump is kind of the worst game.
I watched videos of people playing it, and even watching somebody who is deeply skilled at it playing it, it's still just so painful.
I watched the Black Knight level, and that looked really, really hard.
Yeah.
Is that the one where you have to pull the 5...
It's like 8
loops.
Yeah, there's
rings,
a lot of rings to
make
to pull.
Something collapse in the middle.
Yeah. I guess there are 5. Yeah, there's like 5 or 6 pillars under him, but you have to like pull other rings to even be able to get to the other.
Why would you build that? Like, why? Like, what is that in your castle? Like, oh, well, so of course we need to put some rings on chains that just pull.
The weaken the supports.
Yeah, the weaken the supports throne. On these pillars. Yeah.
Why would you have a never-ending supply of beer steins coming out of a hole that you then throw at people?
Well, on the other side of the hole is like...
If you like beer. Bar. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We have that. We periodically have to go to the store and buy some more beers to put in the beer hole. But...
so you can put them in your beer hole.
I think if you look at almost any video game and are critical of the architecture in the frame of mind as, why would someone build this?
Pitfall.
Yes.
Nobody built that. It's just like there's a lake with some crocodiles in it. Okay, that happens.
Well, uh-huh. Who put those ladders there?
Yeah, and what? How? What is this underground thing?
It's a tunnel. Some of it's a cave. Some of it has a brick wall.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes there are tar pits that open and close at random.
Okay. I like Pitfall.
Yeah, me too.
Dark Castle's a different game. It has rocks that you can throw.
Mm-hmm. And a nail for your dick. So,
assignment.
What?
Dark Crystal. It's the Skeksis versus
Jim Henson.
Oh, goddamn, I played the wrong game again.
Fuck. Yeah, The Black Cauldron by Sierra Online.
That's a fun game. Have you played that?
Yeah, I didn't know they had a game of that.
It was like their first. I don't know if it was their first. It was
Mystery
it was before
House.
All the
Mystery House was their first game for the
it
Apple
was before
IIe.
All the like Sierra King's Quests and Police Quests. And
no, it wasn't.
Space
Black
Quest.
Cauldron was not before all those things.
Wasn't it? I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure Black Cauldron predated King's Quest.
I don't think that it did. If only there was a vast repository of all human knowledge that we could effortlessly consult using any one of a handful of devices that we have within reach of us right now.
Yeah.
Fuck Dark Cat.
So
I don't even want to complain about it again. We got like Riff, say some things about Dark Castle so that I can thread the shit that you're saying into me complaining about it from last week.
I found it very nostalgic, and I still like the art, and I totally remembered all of the sound effects, and it's very, very difficult.
The sound effects, like the guy going, when he's like spinning around.
And things like that.
Riff, let's make a video game and you do all the sound effects.
Okay. I would totally do that.
Our next assignment
is
Commander Keen, which Doglord 420, God fucking bless Doglord 420, points out is available on Steam. You know what he pointed out? Kevin described something as abandonware.
Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, I just assumed. I didn't even bother looking.
I found it on for free on some website, I think.
Really?
I don't remember where now.
Was it where is torrent with a Z .com?
It seemed legit. Well, what it seemed to me from the page, although I have no idea what page it was anymore, was that the first one was, you know, thrown out on the internet for free by
Id
Software.
Some of them are shareware, to be sure.
Yeah.
To be share. You know, Cher released her most recent album as Cherware.
Cherware.
Yeah. So, it was an interesting point that he brought up. He characterized abandonware as, like, just sort of piracy justification tinged with nostalgia, which I can see his point, and there is a part of me that agrees with a part of his point. But I don't really feel bad about downloading from, say, Home of the Underdogs, right? Home of the Underdogs will not host a file if they are made aware of a venue for legitimately buying it.
Yeah. There are definitely games, old games, that you could not possibly buy from anyone if you tried.
and I don't see anything wrong with.
Yeah, I don't think that we have any right to play them, but
nobody's
being
hurt.
Yeah. That said, if a game that we want to play as an assignment is available on GOG, I will always, always buy it, right? Like, but that doesn't make it right to download things from an abandonware site. So it's weird. I can't justify it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't justify downloading ROMs of Nintendo, you know, like, I felt bad enough to actually purchase, when I found it, a cartridge of that fucking werewolf game, Werewolf the Last Warrior, just because I had talked about it on a podcast. I thought, you know what? I entertained people by talking about Werewolf the Last Warrior, the game in which you can only use a gun when you are a werewolf and not when you are a dude.
I mean, a game that is not available in any other way, it may not be right to download it off of abandonware site, but I don't think it's wrong either.
Well, you don't think it's wrong because you do it. You probably don't think masturbating is wrong.
Well, maybe after a certain quantity it becomes wrong.
Doesn't matter what you think. God knows. God knows it's wrong. All right. You know, fellas, I had a good time last week recording an episode of Video Games Hot Dog with y'all.
Yeah.
And this week, I'm even higher as fuck than I was the previous week. So I probably had a good time. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a message.
Yes. We would probably ignore it. But if
we would ignore it for a while and then address it with a fucking vengeance.
Yeah, when it was way out of date.
Look, when DogLord420 says something, we listen. People he listen. Is like fucking EF Hutton in that regard.
We should probably at some point just skip all the what you've been playing and news and everything and just do a question. Show that's entirely male. Yeah.
See, I vote we skip the prior to what you've been playing where we just talk about boring shit that isn't video games, and I vote that we skip that every show from now on because I maintain that our listeners do not give a fuck about me shaving my balls or whatever it is that we're going to talk about during that segment.
I think you would hear a cacophony of people complaining because they love that section and they love hearing about you shaving your balls.
I could start vaguely describing more anime series that I've watched.
It's true. And also puzzles that in those anime series. So you could tweet at us at VGHotDog. You could email us, vghotdog@gmail.com, or you could check out our forums, accessible by a link on videogameshotdog.com.
Just as a bone thrown, let's look at some tweets. Let's see if people have tweeted at us.
Okay. That's a thing that I think
so I'm looking at the Video Games Hot Dog Twitter.
You were right, by the way. Black Cauldron came out in 1986, and the first King's Quest game came out in 1984.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Of course I was right. Gleebs wrote into the Twitter, someone actually made Oregon Trail. Thoughts on missing your chance, Kevin?
It is not the game that I would make, so I think I could probably still make an Oregon Trail that was the game that I want to make.
Where you're a disease.
Yeah, you're traversing a human body.
Yeah. Yeah. Oregon Trail was just like Oregon Trail plus zombies, right?
Yeah, and I think it would be much funnier if you were actually traversing a human body, and the funny thing is, you give the body dysentery. Right, because that's funny, and you get a little gun and you shoot white blood cells and stuff like that. That'd be great.
ACM wrote, psyched that you're playing Dark Castle, but anticipate griping about difficulty and need to replay dungeon over and over, etc. Still, Beyond Dark Castle was one of my first solo addictions, and I still use some of the sound effects in jokes with spouse. You know,
Beyond Dark Castle was pretty good. If I had the presence of mind to suggest playing Beyond Dark Castle instead of Dark Castle, you might have... Well, Beyond Dark Castle was still very difficult, but on the whole, the sequel was a better game.
Jonathan L. Burbridge writes, hey, nerds at Video Games Hot Dog, it's pronounced Melee. It's not a guy named Lee introducing himself. It's me, Lee.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, an undead wizard is also a lich and not a lich, but I don't pronounce it that way because it sounds ridiculous.
I don't think it's really lich. Is it like...
Yeah, it's German.
But it's like. the L-E-I-C-H is like as I recall.
It's not how you spell it.
Okay, but L-E-I-C-H was an archaic Germanic term that meant corpse.
Okay.
And that's where it came from.
So Leich.
Yeah. Like, it's not even like, it's like that weird, it's like that weird that yeah. we can't make with our tiny American mouths. You got to put some verst in there if you want to, properly be able to articulate the sounds. Yeah, fucking melee, huh? I say melee.
Yeah.
Riff says melee. You don't say melee. You say melee.
Yeah. Melee, yeah.
I don't even know generally, what I'm saying, because now that I'm thinking about it too hard.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I have no idea.
You know, and as Doglord420, who turns out is some kind of fucking savant war historian, says, melee is actually like a chaotic brawl. You know, it doesn't mean like not ranged.
Not ranged.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is, language is ever-changing. And if we pronounce it melee and you understand what we're saying and you know that we mean close combat, not ranged, then that's what the fucking word means. And we've all come as a group to understand what that means.
But that is the same kind of justification that somebody would use for
the letter U,
the letter U instead of Y-O-U.
And as much as I hate it, that is probably fucking going to happen. And I like, that's just, right. That's how language works. So you don't get to choose all of your battles.
Yes. Yes. But that doesn't mean that you have to be part of the problem.
Sure, but I would argue that whatever I do is
right.
Yeah, is correct, and whatever kids these days are doing is wrong.
ACM also suggests that we play Dungeon Raid. I believe that we all went through our, prior to the existence of Video Games Hot Dog as a podcast, I think we all.
Was it that long ago?
Seems like it was a long time ago the Dungeon Raid came out the first time. Maybe not. Maybe we were playing it and talking about it way back in the day.
I pretty exhaustively...
ACM would remember.
...beat that game.
Yeah. It got super fucking weird. You know, here is a...
I don't totally remember which game that was.
Shout-out to War Games Whopper. Yeah. Dungeon Raid was the first one, right? It had the skulls, and some of the skulls were different kinds of enemies.
Okay.
And it had swords, and one of the... But when they introduced... There was a big content patch to Dungeon Raid that introduced a lot more progression stuff, like classes and races and stuff. And the way that those things were implemented was super, super confusing. And, like, I eventually wrapped my head around how it worked. I don't think I played it enough to unlock everything. Because...
Yeah, I did.
The upgrades that you got were so chance-dependent. Right? Like, you would eventually get enough combos that it would drop a trophy in, and you would hit the trophy. But it was not... You couldn't really grind, right? It was just crazy RNG dependent.
I mean, I think you could grind in it. Like, it wasn't that bad.
I don't consider a thing where it's like every game has a 1 in 10 chance of resulting in a level up. Like, that is not a thing you can grind. Hmm. Right? Because you could play 1,000 games and not level up. If there's no,
but I think it's
if
just
there's
a matter
no
of
mitigation,
time, right? Like I think the long, if you can
yeah,
make
yeah, it will eventually happen. But yeah. if there is no mitigation, like if I don't have a lot of patience for things where the primary advancement mechanism is subject to a long tail, right? Like it in the like Portrait of Ruin or whatever. It sucks that getting 100%. By getting every item drop is subject to so many individual instances of a long tail, but I recognize that wanting to get 100%
is
me being fucking crazy, not the primary means by which somebody unlocks content in the game, right? I mean, it's an optional, like, thing for people who are hardcore into this. Whereas in Dungeon Raid, I didn't think it was really like that. Fucking War Games Whopper is the game that you would make if you played Dungeon Raid and wanted to fix all the things that were goofy about Dungeon Raid.
Yeah.
It was not perfect.
Also a little goofy.
I really wanted an endless mode, and then when they gave me an endless mode, I was like, I didn't want this. So that kind of sucked. But yeah, ACM, if you're out there, and if you are on an iDevice, yeah, I don't know if there's an Android version of it, but WOPR is a spiritual successor to Dungeon Raid that is War Games themed. So if you're like super 80s nostalgia man like me, and who knows, maybe you are.
I leveled every class to 10.
Wow. I played the fuck out of that game and unlocked maybe one out of five things. Like, I played probably 50 games of it without ever getting a content unlock.
Huh.
And I just gave up.
I don't have to tell you.
Yeah. I normally get so lucky. I had a weekend where I was going to farm slimes in Fellwood to try to get a disgusting oozling to give to Kevin for his birthday or for Christmas or something. And the sixth slime I killed dropped.
Yep. You're like, well, what am I going to do with my weekend now?
Yeah. So I just masturbated the entire rest of the weekend. It was just like, oh, this fucking
See, that's when it becomes
rules.
Wrong.
That's okay. When it's wrong? Is no, when it's the entire weekend or when it's when you're doing it because you were lucky, because you got lucky?
Yeah, that's not what getting lucky means, I don't think.
Well, no, it means like happening into the opportunity to do a whole lot of masturbating. I mean, that's what I always mean when I say getting lucky.
I'm getting lucky tonight.
Yeah. Put a necktie on the door.
Oh, that makes so much more sense now.
Does it?
Yep. Yep.
Have you figured out something that is not real?
Yeah. No, just why you have a necktie on your door all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that is real. All right, guys. Well, I hope that I haven't edited this and last week's show into some sort of unlistenable clusterfuck.
Oh, I hope you have.
Yeah.
This is some giant Frankenstein of an episode.
I'll bet that I have, yeah. So if you are now in hour six of this episode of Video Games Hot Dog,
we're sorry.
I'd like to apologize. I would also like to apologize to Kevin for accidentally kicking him really hard under the table just now.
Fine. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Yeah, they have the most impact on the world of basically any group, but it's like it's not real flattering.
But the stuff about the men is not real flattering either. Like,
no,
most
but
of
I mean,
the men,
but the men are not. But the men are not like conniving eugenicists, right? Like they're like the men are the men are, you know, bullfighters and like pederasts. Okay, now maybe you're right.